American scene, at which the lights in the subway tunnel were not lights passing in the subway tunnel, became lights thrown by spangles on that lady's hat. And then another step in this period, you might say, of ear training, where I was concerned more about how language moved than anything else. I wrote portraits of people. This was a woman named Mrs. Angus, using her own speech. "There's lots of death down there, and a fish the Spanish people eat. Couldn't get me near one. Red they are, like meat. Bonita. A famous jockey and two other lads, and him with a big race coming up Sunday, went out at night in a little boat, and they was washed, I think, to a place of reptiles and eaten, for none of them was ever found. Yon place scares me." It got really abstract, because I was then interested in the way Bach moved, which was pretty new music then. Here's one poem which I call Winter. I had four seasons. This was the most successful, I think. "Alice Herlihy had hard hands, had hands made hard by working for her father with stones. It seemed as though the stones would grow from the land in winter time to be gathered as a crop, stacked into neat low walls, lacing the land, separating flocks. Alice used to also sit and sew, sitting in a little wooden rocking chair, which creaked." I'm trying to get it to swing, you see. Then, here's one I was always fond of in college. A memorable fancy. "On a cold night in Oregon, in a falling snow, dressed in a simple parka, brown and hooded, with a 3 days' growth of beard, with eyes that had a burning look, hunting or hunted, I cannot say, I met a man with a sandwich board proclaiming the coming of the Lord. So I walked around the block, giving him his second chance to know me." It really, really happened. It was very funny. He had a big belly. And, well. Then I went to Chicago. Don't ever go. And I learned that I wasn't really writing American speech at all. That, as you can hear, that's very refined. That's a different thing. Whatever I was doing, I was listening with my ear, but I wasn't really hearing American speech. And I studied linguistics at Chicago and took dialect studies, got to be even more impressed with the fact that the vigor of the language you hear on the streets is greater than the vigor of the language in poetry. Now, if that happens, there's something wrong. So to try to bring the two together, and finally, in Chicago, I got to the point where working on this, and then also, which is correlated to that very closely, the idea that poetry is a performance art, at least in part. It's not a little thing that sticks on black type in books in libraries. It's a thing to sing or perform. So I wrote with the idea of performing in American diction as I heard it. Here's a poem that's published now in Contact 2. Maybe you've read it. It's called Chicago Poem. "I lived here nearly 5 years before I could meet the Middle Western day with anything like dignity. It's a place that lets you understand why the Bible is the way it is. Proud people cannot live here. The land's too flat, ugly, sullen, and big. It pounds men down past humbleness. They stoop at 35, possibly cringing from the heavy and terrible sky. In country like this, there can be no God but Yahweh. In the mills and refineries of its south side, Chicago passes its natural gas in flames bouncing like Bunsens from stacks 100 feet high. The stench stabs at your eyeballs, the whole sky green and yellow backdrop for the skeleton steel of a bombed-out town. Remember the movies in grammar school, the goggled men doing strong things in showers of steel spark, the dark screen cracking light, and the furnace door opening with a blast of orange like a sunset or an orange. It was photographed by a fairy thrilled as a girl, or a Nazi who wished there were people behind that door, hence the remote beauty. But Sievers, whose old man spent most of his life in there, remembers a nigger in a red t-shirt pissing into the black sand. It was 5 years until I could afford to recognize the ferocity. Friends helped me. Then I put some love into my house. Finally, I found some quiet lakes and a farm where they let me shoot pheasant. Standing in the boat one night, I watched the lake go absolutely flat, smaller than raindrops, and only here and there the feeding rings of fish were visible 100 yards away. And the bluegill caught that afternoon, lifted from its northern lake like a tropical jewel at its ear, belly gold so bright you'd swear he had his light in there, his color fading with his life. Small green fish. And all things considered, it's a gentle and undemanding planet, even here, far gentler here than any of a dozen other places. The trouble is always and only with what we build on top of it. There's nobody else to blame. You can't fix it, and you can't make it go away. It does no good appealing to some half-invented thunderer brooding above his unimaginable crag. It's ours. Right down to the last small hinge, it all depends for its existence only and utterly upon our sufferance. Driving back, I saw Chicago rising in its gases, and I knew again that never will the man be made to stand against this pitiless, unparalleled monstrosity. It snuffles on the beach of its great lake like a blind red rhinoceros. It's already running us down. You can't fix it. You can't make it go away. I don't know what you're going to do about it, but I know what I'm going to do about it. I'm just going to walk away from it. Maybe a small part of it will die if I'm not around feeding it anymore. All these things came together with sort of a wild crash in this one, which is my literary biography. It's called A Round of English for Philip Whalen. The day I first woke up, everybody had scabs on their eyes, and I couldn't get to a mirror fast enough. They all said nothing had changed because nothing ever could. I thought I knew how to talk, but then somebody showed up who could have heard it all, and I didn't have a thing to say. Somebody else said, Proust. It was all about France and soirees, or it was all about whales and a harpoon sharp enough to shave with. Look, if you really are interested, which I seriously begin to doubt, you'll get it from the guys he stole it. Bared her bosom, I popped out the knife, I carved my initials on her thin breast bone. Thin brass stone. Thin brass stone. That's very, very good. Very good. And somebody young as we were sagged into the room, face caked with blood, clothes still damp with the natural leakage of a 5-day wine drunk. Well, I may be inverted, but thank God I'm not insatiable. There'll be beans, beans, beans enough for you and me in the store, in the store. Why blunt my good axe? I always used a certain kind of notebook because it took the ink well. Iridescent as horsefly, ink should be should float upon the aged scroll. Lost, my rained on swan's way, notes on the fly leaf, water lily image, his old church. Lost, a footlocker full of notes, letters from cracking up friends, hall notes from landlords, impassioned scribblings from urinal walls, carbons of letters, my own so young, all of it priceless, irreplaceable, to which add the voice of the cop. What do you expect living in this neighborhood? The black son of a bitches will rob you blind. Years later, Pete used to say, what do you expect walking around alone with $2.50 in your pocket in broad daylight? Compelled by dowsers and Hindus and parables of Zen, writers by century and all of their friends, how do they get together in there? Some mindless urge? Who knows how many sick Frenchmen and all those Merkins coming on free? I never really had time to read. Came then to Chicago to matriculate with professionals. I always expected to surprise among the buttresses some rude Falstaffian man surrounded by dogs polishing the armor of his lord. Heard instead the voices of children raised in song. Shakespeare, Milton, Shakespeare, Milton, Shelley as well, Shelley as well, Sarah something Teasdale, Sarah something Teasdale, Edith M. Bell, Edith M. Bell, Shakespeare, Milton, Shakespeare, Milton, Shelley as well, Elton, Shelley as well, Elton, Sarah something Shelley as, Sarah something Shelley as, Sarah something Teasdale, Sarah something Teasdale, Edith M. Bell, Edith M. Bell. What did I hope to find in all those books? Probably what's there from time to time, but how could I have known that? I wonder what it looked like then. Probably a horrifying thing, all muddy and lurching, and proud. I sat brooding where the park is Japanese with slanting rock and undernourished trees. Is beauty that's blown from the oldest sea, but beauty that's born in the mind's eye, we who treasure it just vain deluded men, pourquoi voulez-vous donc qu'il m'en souvienne? Taut hams shove her skirt, now to the right, now to the left. There is nothing more to do today, nothing more to do, nothing more to do today, nothing more to do today, to do today. And no explanation but the oldest one of all. Lady, your visits alone are important to me, though I am often inadequate to your simple demand. I do not understand what you want me to do, but it looks like I'll continue trying. You made me unemployable in the world of men. For your sake, I am cruel to friends and cannot keep my promises. Just when I think I know you, you take capricious form, chair to rock, to sea, to little girl reading on supermarket steps, tongue between teeth, so serious, legs spread wide, a characteristic pose. Waitress in a soiled uniform, finally bringing me my check. And will that be all, sir? Yes. And then the last poem I'd like to read gets a little off that. It's not quite, it doesn't perform quite that well, because I find if you make a thing entirely for performance, you have to sacrifice a lot of compression, because it needs repetition, and there's a lot of room for, but you have to account for the audience to relax. And sometimes this makes it, it's too much of a price to pay. I think poems now, I mean now I think that a poem should be performable, but probably should be studied a little. This poem is called Wobbly Rock. It's in six sections. It's a real rock, believe this first, resting on actual sand at the surf's edge, Muir Beach, California. Like everything else I have, Somebody showed it to me, and I found it by myself. Hard, common stone, size of the largest haystack. It moves when hit by waves, actually shudders. Even a good gust of wind will do it, if you sit real still and keep your mouth shut. Notched on certain center, it yields and comes back to it. Wobbly tons. Sitting here, you look below on other rocks precisely placed as rocks of Rioanji, foam like swept stones, snow like frosting on a cake, rose so beautiful it don't look real. Which is to say, we have another example here, stone garden shown to me by a Berkeley painter I never met, 1,000 books, somebody else's boat ride, rocks, garden, eye, nearly empty, despite this clutter image, all of the opposites canceling out, a circular process, frosting snow. Or think of the monks who made it 4.5 centuries ago. It's not enough to lug the boulders from the sea or sweep the original gravel. You cannot see until you finally look up the instant after it is made. Then all rocks are different, and all the spaces in between, which includes about everything. Don't tell me about that rock. I used to sit on one just like that all the time, which includes about everything. All those years on the beach, lifetimes, I have been in many shapes before I attained congenial form. When I was a boy, I used to watch the pelican. It always seemed his wings broke and he dropped like scissors in the sea. Night fire flicking the shale cliff, balls tight as a cat after the cold swim, her young snatch sandy. I have traveled, I have made a circuit, I have lived in 14 cities, I have been a word in a book, I have been a book originally, dishmik, dishmik, make of it a riddle. Waves and the sea, take away the sea, discover what it is. Yesterday the weather was nice, there were lots of people. Today it's raining. The only other figure is far up the beach. By the curve of his body, I know he leans against the tug of his fishing line. There is no separation. Yesterday they gathered and broke like feeding swallows, dipped down to pick up something, ran back to show it, and a young girl with jeans rolled to mid-thigh ran splashing in the rain creek. They're all so damned happy, why can't they admit it? Easy enough until a little rain shuts beaches down. Did it mean nothing to you, animal that turns this planet to a smoking rock back among your quarrels? How can I remind you of your gentleness? The jeans are washed, the shells lost or broken, driftwood sits in shadow boxes on a tract house wall. Like swallows gathering, like people I wish for in that rain creek. I cannot even tell this to that fisherman. Three of us in a boat the size of a bathtub, pitching in slow waves, fish poles over the side, oars. We rounded a point of rock and entered a small cove. Below us, fronds of kelp, fish, crustaceans, eels, then us, then rocks at the cliff's base, hundreds of starfish sunning themselves. On the highest rock, the final starfish, cliff, 4 feet up the cliff, a flower, grass, further up more grass over the cliff's edge, branch of pine, then far up the sky, a hawk. Clutching to our chip, we are jittering in a spectrum hung in the film of this narrow band, green, to our eyes only. On a trail not far from here, walking in meditation, we entered a dark grove, and I lost all separation in step with the eucalyptus as the trail walked back beneath me. Does it need to be that dark, or is darkness only its occasion? Finding it by ourselves, knowing, of course, somebody else was there before. I like playing that game, standing on a high rock, looking way out over it all. I think I'll call it the Pacific. Wind, water, wave, rock, sea, sand, there is no separation. Wind that wets my lips is salt, sea breaking within me, balanced as the sea that floods these rocks. Rock returning to the sea easily as the sea once rose from it. It is a sea rock easily. There is no separation. I am rocked by the sea.